Good afternoon. I think we're about ready to get started. My name is Arik Cohen. I am a principal program manager lead on the Windows Store team, responsible for the team that does all the commerce and licensing pieces of the store. And I'm proud to have the opportunity to show the work that the team's been doing. I had a great opportunity to talk to you guys at Build 2 years ago and really introduce some of the monetization opportunities. And now that we've been live for 8 months, I really would like to kind of walk through what are the options, how have we seen you guys as developers using the monetization opportunities that are available from the Windows Store and other platforms, how that's changing a little bit over time, some best practices that we've seen, talk through some of the improvements that have that we're bringing with Windows 8.1 that really enable some new things there. And then we'll walk through those different monetization options and really build up an app, kind of implement all of them inside an app, see how easy it is to kind of implement that, and really talk about how you find the right sweet spot. Unfortunately, I can't stand up here today and say, you know, choose this price point, choose this category, make it look exactly like this, and I can guarantee you can retire tomorrow. What I can give you is a set of tools and a set of capabilities that you can use that makes the right thing for your app, for your customer base, for the market that you're trying to attract, and that you can really utilize that to have the best success and really meet your monetization goals, which for everyone in this room is going to be a little bit different. So let's get started by taking a look at the monetization options that you're using. One of the first things that anyone notices when they look at the slide and kind of sees the chart of what people are using is, hey, it adds up to more than 100%. And why is that? It's really because you guys are experimenting. You're using different monetization options. You may use advertising in your trial. You may use a full pay for download. You may do in-app purchases along with subscription. You may just use one. You may use more than one. But if we look over the last 6 to 12 months, the biggest areas of growth have been in the ones that allow for monetization over time to really increase your average revenue per user ongoing after that initial installation of the app. That includes advertising, and that includes kind of in-app purchases and freemium, right? So the post-download purchases. And when we look at the way that revenue breaks down and the way that people are making money, it actually breaks out pretty even across all of these, right? So even though less people are using subscriptions, it makes an equivalent amount of money to the amount of people that are using advertising. So one of the things that you need to look at is which is the right sweet spot for your app. How are people going to use your app? And we'll walk through some best practices on how to do that. The other thing that we look at there is really what is the global opportunity? We're all very familiar, or at least those of us here in San Francisco right now are familiar with some of the opportunities in the United States and in some of the developed markets. But as we're seeing increased growth of devices, users, population across the world, it's very interesting to take a look at what have we seen on the Windows Store. So we've been live for about 8 months. We support 220 markets around the markets and regions around the world. And in 195 of them, we've made paid transactions. So already in 8 months, 195 countries have made paid transactions. Now, I know it comes as no shock to you that not all countries have made the same amount of transactions. But that opportunity is there. And if you have the right targeted app, the app that is appropriate for that market, those are the ones to kind of look for. And when we see the growth opportunities there, some of the big growth opportunities are in China, in Brazil, in India, in Russia. And when we take a look at the advances that we've made, we're really kind of gearing towards some of those markets and how to make your monetization opportunities in those markets even broader. So with that, let's dive straight into what's new in Windows 8.1. First, we'll take a look at ways for more consumers to buy your apps, whether that be the initial purchase, whether it's a conversion from a trial to a full, whether that be an in-app purchase, or the new consumable purchases that we support. First, we added Alipay support, which is the leading provider of internet-based e-commerce in China. In fact, Windows Phone 8 introduced Alipay support, and introducing Alipay support in Windows Phone increased the number of paid transactions by over 100 times. Over 100 times. It's really around how do you enable the broadest set of people to be able to buy that app. And in China, there is a lot more people that are willing to use Alipay and are comfortable using Alipay than there are using international credit cards. We also recognize that there's a lot of people that don't have credit cards. And even in the United States, even in some of the other markets where there's a great penetration among adults, there are individuals that are either don't have credit cards or PayPal and don't have the mechanism to go get that. So we've added kind of gift card support. And there's 41 different markets that by the end of this year, you'll be able to either electronically or at retail locations buy gift cards for use on the Windows Store, the Windows Phone Store, and Xbox. So those gift cards will work across all of that. I know everybody here received a gift card for the Windows Phone Store. That will not work in the Windows Store quite yet. It will be available for you guys shortly and along with Windows 8.1. We also have a commitment to enabling all of you and developers around the world to be able to submit apps and participate in this great global opportunity. So we've added 70 markets, bringing our total up to 191. Different countries and regions around the world where you can register as a developer, either as a business or as an individual, and submit applications to the store. Then we take a look at what are we doing to meet that growing need around average revenue per user over time. How do you do additional purchases over time? And when we look at that and in-app purchases, there's a couple big things that we did there. One of the big things, and I think I received this feedback when I stood up here 2 years ago, or I guess I stood up in Anaheim 2 years ago, was around consumable in-app purchases. So a purchase that you would like to buy multiple times, for example, buying a virtual set of coins for your app, and then that you kind of manage that experience and the final disposition of the products and the content to the user. So we've added consumable support. We'll see how easy it is to do that. The other thing that we've heard a bunch of feedback on is you guys rev the content and the offerings at a very frequent basis. You don't want to have to publish new metadata up to a store catalog in order to sell additional content. So we've added some support for how do you manage your own in-app content, and you really publish the price tiers to the store, and that you have a dynamic way of providing a good user experience so that the user experience that the user understands what they're buying, they have confidence that they're not going to get double charged, they have confidence that they're getting what they expected when they get their receipt. And we've heard that you want to be able to offer things that are beyond just basic kind of software capabilities. So whether that be additional types of content or services, you wanted to be able to tag your in-app purchases and effectively say what are the appropriate taxation and legality rules that need to apply there. So now with Windows 8.1, you can do that as well. So support for a wide variety of content and services that you can offer for in-app purchases. And finally, the big thing that we heard is we want people to get the latest opportunities. If we revise our app and we create new monetization opportunities and create more value for users, we want to make it easy for them to get it. So we've added auto-updating of your apps. So by default, a Windows 8.1 user will get the latest version of your app. So you add a new monetization opportunity for you and more value for the customer in an update, great. It gets out and gets in front of them without them having to make a conscious decision to go pull the update of your app. So with that, what are the different monetization options as we look at it? There's really four basic ones that we'll talk about today. First, advertising. I think you're all pretty familiar with using advertising in your apps. It is still by far the most popular mechanism for monetization in the apps. Pay for download. So get people at the time of purchase or really get that initial purchase from the user. In-app purchases, how do you monetize over time? And then we have a commitment to flexibility. If you have your own commerce system, if you have your own subscriptions that you do, if you are delivering goods in physical goods and you want to be able to use your own subscription platform, your own purchasing platform, or you frankly have an investment in one that you've already done, you believe that that is the right way to attract your customers and make it easy for them, you can continue to use that. We announced that a couple years ago at Build, and I know there was a lot of concern of, is this a short-term thing? No, our commitment to that flexibility continues, and you can continue to use those existing things. So with that, I'm going to go switch over and show you what the final user experience is going to be here of the app that we're going to build. And I should have unlocked the machine first. So I have built a little app here. I am into running, or I have gotten more into running. And this is an app I'm planning personally to try to launch with Windows 8.1. It allows you to find out what your race pace is, do conversions for what's the optimal pace that you should be training at, gives you an ability to do your training log. I have to tell you, I did a hill workout this morning. San Francisco was not the place to do that. Or maybe it was the right place to do that, but the run I did yesterday was much better. I ran down the hill and took the cable car up the hill. So that was the right way to do it. Probably didn't get quite as much training juice out of it. You'll notice here that I've got an advertisement. So in this model, I have kind of a free app. I have access to a bunch of stuff and kind of my training log and that. This is something that I expect people to come back to often, which means advertising is a great mechanism for deployment there. I also have a full version. If you want to buy and not have to use ads, we can go remove the ads. So the user experience, it would check to see what the price would be. I can say buy. Again, to protect the user, and for any of you who have little kids who already know your password or have made accidental purchases, in this case, I already own this item. So boom, it updates it, and it immediately updates the user experience to get rid of the pieces that are from the trial. Then we also have training plans. So I've been doing a bunch of research into what's the right way to train. I've been only working on half marathon. I know there's a couple people here in the audience that that I know that are crazier than I and do much longer races. So I'd like to offer them the capability to purchase either a half marathon or a full marathon training plan. In this case, let's do the full marathon training plan. Checks the price. And what you'll notice here, all of this is being pulled from a service. So the content, I only configured two in-app purchases, one for a half marathon plan, one for a full marathon plan. But what's shown to the user is the Amica Seattle Marathon for this December. So I'm going to go buy that. And I can go buy multiple of these, right? So even though this is the new consumable experiences, hey, I bought it. It will update. I can click into that and get kind of the detailed training plan, a 12, 16, 20-week training plan that tells me how far I should be running on any particular day. I could also try to train for next. I'm a little scared about the San Francisco one after experiencing the hills here, but I would need a training plan for that. Again, I can buy it a second time because this is the consumable experience. So kind of that's the experience we're going to go and build today. So now let's switch back over to our slides, which are on here. So where do we start with that? Well, the first place we're going to start is in advertising. Let's start off with some best practices for you around advertising. What we've seen both with users of the Microsoft Ads SDK and other ad SDKs that are out there. First and foremost, stay in touch with your ad SDK. Every one of the ad providers out there is doing a great job of innovating and trying to get you more and more revenue over time. In fact, the Microsoft Ads SDK for Windows 8.0 apps just updated this week here at Build and created a new update that would enable you to get ad targeting, which increases the revenue that you get from any particular ad, and enables the user to effectively manage their constraints around app targeting, whether they would like to have targeting enabled or not. So if you have an app in the Windows Store today, and you currently are using the Microsoft Ads SDK, which is the most popular Ads SDK being used by Windows Store apps, and you haven't updated, which you probably haven't because you probably didn't hear about it until I talked about it right now, I prefer that you wait till after the talk, download, resubmit. You don't have to make any other changes, just download, resubmit your app, and now you'll get the advantages of app targeting. Ad targeting, and that really enables your users to get a more personalized experience, and it enables you to make more revenue with it. The other thing that we've learned is, hey, which are the ad sizes that pay and work the best for you? When we launched originally, 8 months ago, we gave a plethora of options. We looked at the options that you as developers are using. We looked at the options that advertisers are demanding, and which are the ones that really are the sweet spot. So what I can tell you is when you update your app, you really want to focus on one of these five sizes. There's one new one. You'll notice a couple sizes that that existed before don't exist anymore. But what I would recommend is these are the ones you should optimize for. These are the ones that are paying the best. These are the ones that advertisers are demanding. And frankly, these are the ones that you guys are using the most inside your app. So it'll be very simple for you to convert to these. And lastly, you really want to look at how you design your ads into your app experience. Unless you're building the NASCAR app, in which case it makes a lot of sense to have ads everywhere because that is the experience there. We've all seen the apps that kind of slam a bunch of ads around every available inch of screen real estate. One of the things to note is when you're building an app and you're using advertising as your business model and your monetization model, it is all geared around the fact that a user is going to come back, use the app a second time, a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time, a hundredth time, a thousandth time, and really be able to effectively monetize to them over time. What we have seen is apps that splash a bunch of ads out on the in front of you don't get that repeat usage behavior. In fact, users will look for an app that has a better experience. So you have to be very careful. You may get more revenue that first launch, that first use, but you will not be able to hook your users and really be able to get the appropriate amount and the amount of revenue per user that your app expects. Another thing that you need to look at when you look at designing your experience for ads is you need to make sure you handle the case when there are no ads. Whether that's because the app's being run in one of the 220 markets that your ad engine doesn't support, let's say Antarctica, or whether that's because the user is running your app in an offline scenario. You need to plan for that case and not have either the app crash, we've seen apps that do that, apps that have a completely jumbled experience. You can decide to either shrink that app, the ad out of your experience there, or you can make a decision to show a house ad or a different type of behavior to kind of integrate into that experience. These are a couple of the best practices that we've seen that work very, very effectively for people who are using ads as their monetization mechanism. So what's new in Windows 8.1 here? We continue to have a commitment with flexibility for a choice of ad providers. There's a variety of them out there. I've seen a couple of people that are affiliated with them here in the room. And there is a new integration of the Microsoft Ads SDK. We do believe that the ads provider from Microsoft will provide a first-class experience for you. So that same update that I talked about that's available now for your Windows 8.0 apps that enables targeting is available with the VS preview that you have that you received yesterday. So that enables targeting. And the Ads SDK is integrated directly into Visual Studio 2013 and really creates a very simple experience for you to add and manage your ad inventory from within Visual Studio. So with that, let's go see how easy it is to go add one of these ads into our app. So we are going to flip over to here. So I'm here in Visual Studio Express 2013. This is the same app that you saw me running, except for we've stripped out all the monetization pieces. We're going to go add them as we go along here. So where do I want to place my ad? I want to place my ad. I know that users keep coming back. They're going to enter more stuff into my running log. They're going to do that. I'd like to hit them on that first page. I'd like to give them a monetization experience there. How easy is it to do? I can go into my Solution Explorer, build my run, go to my project, and I'm going to add a connected service. You'll notice that now I have the Microsoft Ads connected in here. And I can go and manage my ad inventory straight from within Visual Studio. So I can go select my Build My Run app. I can configure. I'll notice that there's one ad unit already set up here. I can set up another one, foo. I can choose different sizes between the ones that are recommended and that. Kind of get a preview of how those will look. But I'm going to go do this. So I'm going to hit OK. OK. And now it's going to spit out for me the XAML that I need to insert into my app. Just that simple. I don't have to go figure out what the ad unit IDs are. I don't have to go register the app. You can create ad units. You can create your application IDs straight from within there. So let's take this ad unit that I want to use for my front page, go into my XAML, and I'm just going to place this in. Paste this in. And hit F5. And do the first dance of, and recognize that I didn't remove all the code that I thought I did. First demo hiccup just to prove it's real code. I was hoping to do the first dance of joy that the demo works, but it's taking a moment. So boom, and the ad appears. Right? So the ad, just that simple to kind of go add the ad into your app. You'll also notice here that if I go into settings, there's a new Microsoft advertising entry that was added into settings. And this is the place where a user can go to opt out of the ad targeting. Right? So So I can make the decision about whether or not I want to have targeting or not applied to my app. This gets added automatically for you. You don't have to add a capability for that. And this works also with the new update to the Windows 8.0 SDK. So with that, let's swap on back. The question is that a global setting or just for that app? That is a per app setting. The user also has an option to go and manage that globally as well. So with that, let's swap over to pay for download. What are the best practices that we understand here? The biggest thing that I can say here, by far, is that trials matter. We added trial support with Windows 8 apps. And how much do they matter? Well, an app that has trials versus an app that doesn't have trials gets about 12 times the downloads. If we feature and promote your app, it goes even higher than that, 15 times downloads. If you take a look at what are the top paid apps on the stores, about 70% of them have trials. And if you actually look at the top grossing apps, 95% of the top grossing apps have trials. So when you look at that, what that tells you is that users really want to get to know your app, get to feel it, get to understand what the value that it provides. And then they can move to using making that monetization decision. Some people are willing to do that basically purely on the description that you give in the product description page and the reviews, but many want to have a chance to kind of kick the tires, see how it works. How do we look at that? We think it's so important that we've done a better job of promoting whether or not an app has trials. So you'll notice that here, example on the homepage, Crash Course Go has a trial. Any time that an app listing appears with a paid price, if it has a trial, we're going to show it. In fact, if you're using time-limited trials and you're doing kind of the low-cost approach to trials, we'll also show to the user immediately on the product description page how long of a trial period that app takes. So you'll notice up here, trial period of 15 days, right below the buy and try. So this is really to increase customer confidence, enable them to make that initial decision to get into your app, and then it becomes much, much easier to monetize to them over time. So what are the options you have there? Well, the first is time-based trials. This is the approach that I as a developer like because I write no code. This means that when I submit my app to the Windows Store, I select the duration of the trial I want, and the Windows Store licensing basically takes care of the rest. It makes sure that a user cannot run the app. If you chose, for example, 15 days, on the 16th day, the user tries to launch the app, they're told the trial expired, they're taken to the Windows Store to be able to convert and make a purchasing decision. They still get a chance to use all of it, but that may not work for everybody. You may want to provide a differentiated experience. For example, in the app that I showed that we're going to be building, maybe in the trial I'm going to use monetization that has ads, maybe in the full version I'm not. Maybe in the trial I'm only going to give access to a certain set of content or a certain set of levels. How do you do that? That's via the feature differentiated trials. You can combine the two between time and feature differentiated, but fundamentally, at this point, you're changing your app experience based on whether or not it's in a trial. How easy is it to do that? How do we get started doing that? There's really three basic steps that occur when you're doing pretty much any of the commerce activities via the store. First, you got to check the license. You got to understand whether or not the user has access to it. In this case, are they with the trial, with an in-app purchase? Have they bought the in-app purchase before? So that you can make the correct logic decision in your app whether or not to give experience A or experience B to the user. If you want to show in your user experience what is the local pricing and the local name and that's appropriate for the particular user, you can go get the listing data to populate the user experience. So like we showed on the consumable experience that we populated the prices before they ever got to the store purchase experience, you can go get that data, get the appropriate data for local. And lastly, you need a prompt for purchase, right? You need to kick off the purchase experience. So it's just that simple. Those are the three steps we're going to go through. So we're going to go do that for the app. What will that look like? Well, the first thing you want to do is check the license. It's just as simple as going and getting the Windows Application Model Store current app, checking store.license information is trial. Well, that's great. That's using the actual licensing pieces. This is what's going to happen in the code that you're submitting to the store. And what will actually execute on the user's device. But how do you test the different behaviors? That's where we have the current app simulator. So just by changing your using statement to use the current app simulator in your debug version, You can use all the same code afterwards, works exactly the same, but now you can mimic the behavior and you can set up the user to be in whatever state that you want, the licensing information, that you can mimic whatever information that you want that the service would provide so that you can really automate your testing. It works very well with some of the unit testing capabilities of Visual Studio and really gives you a much richer experience to always have a predictable and effective commerce experience. Listing information, you need to go do try catch on the store. You'll load listing information. Why do I call out this try catch? Well, first of all, as a plug for Gus Salum's talk a little bit later, where he's going to go through some of the common certification failures and how you get through it, the fast lane for certification right after this talk. But this is the single most common certification problem that we see around commerce. You expect that every time you can talk to the store. I have news for you. Not every time a user launches your app do they are they connected to the internet. On the first time load, first time that you submit your app from the store, in fact, we don't have that listing information up there yet. So you need to be able to handle that case effectively and gracefully in order for your app to pass certification, in order for you to provide the right user experience. Where does that data come from? Well, that data comes from what you enter in the store portal, right, when you onboard your app, or during testing via the XML, via the store proxy that the current app simulator provides. How will the purchase work? It's going to be really straightforward. This is the world's most boring code slide. You're going to wait. You requested the app purchase, okay? And you can say that you wanted a receipt. So let's go see how easy it is to go do that in our app. So the first thing I'm going to do is a tip or trick that I found that works very well for me is, let me go up to the top. And similar to how I showed that using, if I bring this in, what you'll see is that I'm actually doing an if-def debug in my XAML C#, so that when I'm in debug, I'm using the current app simulator. When I build release, which is what I submit to the store, it uses the current app. So this way, I don't have to change any of my code later on that does the checking for licenses and do all of that. So in my app, XAML.cs, I also like to load up in the debug behavior I need to configure it to that proxy XML. In fact, if we look at that XML, what does it show? So this is the simulator data that I'm showing. It has a $199 price point for the app. It has a half marathon plan and a full marathon plan as the two types of products, in-app products that you can buy. And it sets up my license information. So it says, hey, this is a valid license. And it's a trial license, right? So when I go back into my app XAML, I need to load up that file. So I'm going to bring in the function I have for that. So it's, again, this one I hide behind an if-def debug so that I'm only doing this while I'm testing my app. So I go load up that simulatordata.xml file, and I reload the simulator. This will fail, and we will fail your app in certification if you're using the simulator during on the release version. Then I need to go actually call this. So again, in my debug model here, I'm going to go in, and I am going to load that proxy. So it's just that simple to kind of wire up the simulator for your app. Now I need to go and actually wire up an ability to get out of the trial, right? So how do I do that feature differentiation? So I'm going to go back into my XAML here. And right below my add unit, I'm actually going to add a text box that says remove ads and give you the ability to upgrade the trial, right? So it's going to call the function upgrade tile when it's tapped. So I'm going to save that, and I'm going to go into the XAML code behind, and I've now hooked that up. So now I need to bring in the what will happen when that's called, so I can do the trial convert. So again, upgrade trial will just call store request app purchase async. I don't need the receipt in this particular case. The receipt is used to validate those purchase transactions so that you can validate on your service that a connected user is really effectively using and is a legitimate purchaser of your app. If you want to learn more about how to do that activation and how to do that validation, there's a talk tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. by Alwyn from our team that will really dive into that. So we need to differentiate the experience based on whether or not you are in trial or not. So I've got a async handler that will handle that. I want to deal with it in an async way because that license information can change either due to a UI action or due to the fact that the purchase happened on another machine, right? We'll sync that down. You want to be able to handle that at any point in time. All we're doing here, again, looking at store that license information is trial and setting the main ad location's visibility to collapsed or visible. I now need to hook up the, when I launch the app, I need to hook up the handler. So let's just do it right here. So I'm going to hook up my license change event handler, which basically hooks that up for the check trial info, and it causes the check trial info to happen at the right time. So now if I launch this app, we'll find which bug I created now. No, it actually built. I was bound to get one of those. So again, I have the ad in my app, and now I have the remove ads right below it. When I click on that, now instead of seeing the store experience, since we're in debug, you're getting the current app simulator experience, right? So this lets me drive what the behavior is. Now you can automate this via some commands inside your proxy file and that so that you can automate your testing, or you can really drive through each of the individual cases. In this case, I want to say, yep, it works, and boom, the ads disappear. Just that simple to kind of add a feature differentiated trial into your app. So let's take a look at in-app purchases. Really here, there's one key thing that I need to tell you as far as best practices. It is super, super important for you to think about how a user is going to use your app. We have seen time and time again kind of the scattershot approach of I'm just going to put an in-app purchase here. I'm going to put a buy button. Maybe someone will click on it. And it's really, really important for you to really think about how that's going to get used. And when we take a look at monetization opportunities in the apps that Microsoft produces or that Microsoft provides kind of consultation help, like at the app fast track downstairs in the big room, we really look at this. What is a user expecting to do that? So let's think about a game type scenario. So in a game, a user has successfully completed a level. This is a great time. It's a casual game. They just finished a board. It's a great time. They're taking a step back. They're disengaging for a minute, getting wound up, want to play again. It's a great time to give them an ad. It's a great time to upsell them on an opportunity to buy additional levels. If they failed at that, bad time to give them an ad. They're in a frustrated situation. They didn't do as well as they wanted. You give them an ad. That's a poor user experience. They didn't want to engage with that. They're leaving your app. Now, you have an in-app purchase. It's a crossword type game. You have an in-app purchase that gets them extra hints. Great time to give them something that will help them finish that level. A lot of this feels like common sense, but we have seen time and time again apps not really look at what is the psychology of the user at that time. How do you provide them the upsell opportunity at the right time, at the right moment? Whether that's, hey, I just looked and saw what training plan I want to buy, I want to make that purchase right then. Whether that's, I want to offer the upgrade to the version that does not have ads, offer it to them when they see the ad, not hidden away in a setting somewhere. You're going to get a much higher return on your investment with in-app purchases. So what are the types of in-app purchases that are available to you? With Windows 8, we had the two on the top. And we continue to support them in Windows 8.1. Those are durable purchases, right? I would like to buy level one. I would like to buy premium access, the premium version of the app. This is commonly used also for kind of some of the freemium type models, right? The app is free, buy one thing, get it. The user owns it forever. Expiring durable purchases. I would like to buy access to the premium content for 30 days. That gives you the ability, again, to use the system that manages the licenses to make sure that people aren't setting their clock back. How are they trying to game the system? But you get all of those kind of capabilities to kind of offering expiring durable purchases. However, those can only be bought once at any time that they're active. On the flip side, consumables is the ability to buy something over and over, whether that be a virtual credit in your app, whether that be a set of content, you have daily issues, and you want to buy issue one, issue two, issue three, however you want to use that, the consumable purchases can happen multiple times. You may also want to do the same thing that we're doing in our demo app, really kind of manage that app catalog. You publish some consumables or durable purchases with the price tiers, and you want to message the right thing to the user. So you want to manage your app catalog on your own and really use us just as a purchasing engine. Great. We provide new APIs in Windows 8.1 to make that much easier. So the basics here for consumables. First, initiate the purchase. Right? So it's going to be exactly the same as doing a regular in-app purchase. Then grant the user the product. Right? So, hey, they bought 100 coins. Give the user 100 coins. Then report the fulfillment back to us. So we also provide an API for you to say, hey, that purchase of 100 coins was now granted. Why did we do this? It's really around maintaining the user promise and the challenge that users have around making these purchases, which is, can they trust that the purchase went through? How can they be sure that the app doesn't crash or lose connectivity and I didn't get the content? There's a lot of user angst around making that purchasing decision. Reporting the fulfillment allows us to guarantee to the customer, to our joint customer, that they received the content that they deserved. That enables greater user confidence that they're not going to get double charged, and it enables you guys to not have to deal with irate or frustrated customers that felt that that their purchase just got lost in the ether. So how does that work? In this model with consumables, it is your responsibility with the app to build that purchase history, right? So if you bought 100 coins, you need to show the 100 coins going in, right? This is not a base licensing feature that's provided by the platform. And you need to report that fulfillment before it can be bought again. So you need to report fulfillment before that purchase can actually happen. So let's talk about how easy it is to go do that. We'll switch back again to my demo machine. Go into Visual Studio. And we're going to start out. We never did the listing information. So let's go hook up and wire up our listing information. Another couple tips and tricks that have worked well for me on my apps. I like to, on my app class, set up my listing information statically. So it's easy for me to access anywhere within the app class. So I have a public with my listing information. I have another public, a bool, that says whether or not I've gotten that listing data. So I can make the appropriate decisions. Maybe I'm in an offline state, I don't have access. Again, handle that gracefully. And how does that work? Then I go down into when my app gets invoked, and I'm just gonna load my listing information. So same sample case that I, sample code that I showed a little bit earlier. I'm gonna just set the store listing information to await that store load listing information async. Now I'm gonna switch over to my training plans page, that the XAML behind, and I've got when an item got clicked. If the item's already been purchased, then I'm going to go to the training plan and show it to them. Otherwise, I want to give them that message box experience. So let me bring that in and see how that looks. Well, the first thing I do there is I check, does the app have store listing data? If not, I'm gonna give them a nice error message, as you know, please check your internet connection and try again. Otherwise, I'm going to create a buy dialog that says, would you like to purchase a training plan? Again, pulling in the content from from the item that I have available here, right? So that's pulling in the item title. So I'm pulling that data via JSON data that's coming in from a web service, so I can add new marathons over time. I don't have to submit a new app to the store, a new listing to the store in order to be able to do that. I'm going to pull that in. It has the marathon plans. In fact, I could have published another two products into the store. I could have had, for example, sale prices. And then I could decide on my service to switch between the pricing dynamically without having to do updates, without having to update my app code, or without having to resubmit my app for certification to the store. I'm going to give them the ability to buy the half marathon. I'm going to give them the ability to buy the full marathon. I'm going to give them the ability to cancel. I thought about not giving that, but I figured that was probably appropriate. And then I need to go handle that result. So I show that dialogue. Another common case that we've seen issues with. You can't launch another dialog from within one dialog. So you'll notice here I show the dialog and I look at the command result. If you do the event handler, there you can get into some race conditions where that second dialog doesn't get displayed. This is one of the basic things around message dialogs and how they work in the system. So in this case, I want to bring in the consumable support here. So I now want to purchase my consumable. And you'll notice here that I have a new purchase results object, which kind of wraps a bunch of the basic stuff that people have been asking for and making it easier to deal with a purchase. And this will work for both consumables and durable purchases. I pass along that result ID, which was the ID was the product ID that I had registered. I can pass along my own unique ID, so my own internal identifier, so in this case, the Seattle Marathon, for example. And I can round trip that with the license, right? So that even though the product ID says full marathon or half marathon, I can know which specific item the user purchased. So this is very useful in situations where you're managing your own app catalog. Let's say you have 100,000 issues of 100,000 types of content, pieces of content. You have your own unique identifier here. You can pass that along. You'll also notice that I now pass along some purchase display properties. This is optional, that I can pass along an override, right? This is overriding the metadata's name, right? So the initial purchase was showing half marathon training plan. Now it'll show buying it for the Seattle Marathon. I can take a look at the purchase results, the status. In this case, it succeeded. I want to grant them the plan, and I want to immediately call report the consumable fulfillment. You have the ability to see if there are any. There's another API for finding out if there are any unfulfilled consumables, and you can also find out, for example, if the user has not purchased it, right? So they made the decision to hit cancel or that before you had to go check the license date afterwards, and that this becomes a little bit easier for you. So it's just that simple to add the consumables. In fact, it's so easy. Let's actually swap myself. Instead of being in trial mode, I'm just going to start my app in full mode, again, using the power of the current app simulator to launch and set up the state of my user exactly how I want it. So in this case, I want to go purchase a training plan. Hey, I want to go buy the Seattle one, pulling that data from my, simulator XML file. Yep, I want to buy it. What do I want? Again, popping up the simulator, what do I want that result to be? Purchase. And go buy it multiple times. So you can handle all the cases of whether or not fulfillment happened, what happens if the thing returned an error, really providing you a rich development and test environment to understand all the cases that your user may fall into. And it's just that simple to add consumable support with you also managing kind of all your app catalog in this regard as well. So let's switch back over to the slides. How do you tell whether you're successful with this, right? So we've talked about a bunch of different options, advertising. We've talked about pay for download. We've talked about in-app purchases. It then becomes important for you to use the analytics, both that you built inside your app so that you understand what the user flows and what the user psychology and what they're actually doing, as well as the analytics provided either by PubCenter and the ads SDK, whether that be the analytics that's provided by the Windows Store that gives you some demographic data and download and purchase history. In fact, with the Windows Store, we also now providing you the ability to download that data with Windows 8.1, and then you can go slice and dice it whichever way you want, similar to the way that PubCenter and the Microsoft Ads SDK has enabled you to do today. So once you've got all that data, you look at your performance in that, you need to start experimenting. How are people doing it? How do people find the right sweet spot? So I wanted to look at a couple examples out there. I went looking through some of the top 100 apps in the Windows Store. I'm not going to name names on the app, but we looked at how they're experimenting and what makes them successful. So the first one, it's a paid app. This particular example is a game. It was $3.99 initially. They got some usage. They were not as happy with it as they wanted. So they added the 7-day trial. They went and just resubmitted, added a 7-day trial. They got a lot more usage. They also got a bunch of feedback that said, I finished the game in 5 days. Mm. So they didn't quite get the conversion that they wanted. And we're seeing above industry average conversion. We're seeing about a 4% conversion rate between trial and full apps. They didn't get the conversion rate they wanted. So what did they do? They added a feature differentiated trial, where they gave you access to enough of the app, enough levels in the game, that you got a feel for it. And then they launched it with a new price, right? So they lowered the price a little bit. And this enabled them, not saying that this is the exact model that you need to use, but this is what a developer, a successful developer on the Windows Store has done. And now they're happy with their positioning as one of the top paid apps in the store. On the flip side, let's take a look at somebody who started out with ads. So it was a free app with ads. They added some IAPs to get to some premium content. That got some behavior. They got some feedback. They looked at the reviews. By the way, now you can, with the Windows Store and the analytics, you can look at the reviews across all markets, all regions simultaneously. Look at all that. They looked at that and said, hey, maybe we need to provide an offering to remove the ads. So they added an IAP to remove the ads. Well, based on the user feedback, they expected to see more people buying that in-app purchase, but they didn't. So what did they do? They added 3 new in-app purchases, where they allowed, at different price points, people to remove the ads using the durable with that's time-constrained to understand, hey, just buy a month without the ads, buy a week without the ads, buy a year without the ads. Not saying that this is exactly the right thing for you to use in your app, but what I can say is if you're not experimenting with your monetization story, you're probably leaving money on the table. You're not understanding exactly how your users are using your app. You're not understanding how you can make the most revenue over time per user. And what we've seen and what we've heard from you is that that's the direction you want to go. You want to be using these monetization opportunities that allow you to make more and more revenue off of your best users. And your users see enough value out of your apps, and they love them, and they keep coming back, and they feel very comfortable that they're getting the value that your monetization methods require. So quick recap, when we look at it, we talked about advertising. Again, there's the new Windows 8 Ads SDK update that's available for you right now, enables targeting for your apps, will immediately, well, as soon as you make it through certification and people start using your app, you'll start seeing some benefits around monetization for you there. We talked about pay for download and why trials are so important. We talked about in-app purchases and the new consumable support, and we saw how easy it is to do that. We also talked about our commitment to flexibility and how you can use your existing commerce system if you so choose. With that, more information, the Microsoft Ads SDK is available now up in adsandapps.microsoft.com. Updated samples and SDK that show all the corner cases and how to handle all of that, as well as examples across all of the monetization APIs available for Windows 8 and 8.1 is available on dev.windows.com. And there's a few more talks that will be useful for you. Right after this talk, Gus Saloom will be talking about the Fastlane for certification. I gave away one of his points about a common certification failure, but he's got plenty more for you. Tomorrow, you can find out about validating your Windows Store purchases. So how do you validate those receipts on your service or in your client to understand and guarantee that the users that are receiving that content are valid users? And if you want to find out how you can get that 15x improvement around getting when you get promoted, come to Pete Brown's talk tomorrow at 10:30 about the wow factor. What is it that we look for in an app before we decide to promote it? If you want one of those nice little carrying cases for your Surface, go down to the Quick Start Challenge and use the Microsoft Ads SDK. Thank you. Happy to take questions. There's some microphones, or I can repeat. I did not say anything about subscriptions. We do not have subscription support in Windows 8.1. There are a variety of additional commerce providers in that are providing it, and you can continue to use them. We have definitely heard the feedback around subscriptions, and I have nothing else to announce at this time. So the question is an expiring durable in-app purchase like a subscription? It provides the same app experience. It does not provide the same renewal experience, right? So that unfortunately, from a consumer perspective, or fortunately for us as developers, the subscriptions are also very useful when the consumer forgets to cancel, when they're not using it anymore. So it doesn't work as well in that case. So the question is around the stats that I showed earlier around trials and that. That's actually, I just pulled the numbers from the Windows Store for Windows 8. They are comparable numbers on Windows Phone that offers trials in that as well. I talked what the numbers were 2 years ago there, very much well within the same line. So the question is around what is the increase in volume? That is a total volume download increase. So that's looking at those top apps. Those apps also tend to be priced higher. So they are, which explains why they become the higher grossing apps as well. Yes? It is the same question. So 12 times the downloads of the apps, installs of the app. So the question is whether or not there's an ability to maintain the credit card information in that. You'll notice that when we did the consumer experience, I never got prompted to enter my credit card information. I do have to. I did get prompted to enter my credentials because I don't want someone to just in an in-app purchase just oop, it goes through. So once the user gives the credit card once, that becomes their default credit card, and they never have to enter it again. After that. And so as long as one app, the first app, the purchase that they make from the Windows Store, and that's the value of using a commerce system that goes across all the apps in the Windows Store, once one user has entered that credit card information or entered that gift card or entered their Alipay or entered their PayPal or entered any of the additional local payment providers that we're going to continue to add over time, they're ready to make those purchases very easily in your app. The question is that per device or per user? That's per user. So a user does it on one device, they log in on another device, they don't ever have to enter their payment information again. Did I say there's an external method for doing a subscription? I know that there's a variety of commerce partners out there that are doing that enable subscriptions, and yeah. I don't have a particular favorite of mine that I'm willing to recommend up on stage. So the question, what does the Windows App Store offer over other app stores? Well, it offers access to all the Windows devices. I think that's, and the Windows users. I mean, I think in a nutshell, that's what it is. There's been 100,000 apps from developers that believe that adds value to them in 8 months, which is the fastest growing app store in history. That's different, you know, maybe it works for you, maybe it doesn't. But I take a look at the number of people running Windows, and I've built a couple apps in there, and I'm working on another one, so. The consumables feature is only available for Windows 8.1. It's a new API set in there. Oh, sorry. How do you get considered for promotion? The first and foremost thing is build a great app. So I heard some chuckles. That is the first and foremost thing to do. And then we take a look at what are the rising stars. What is it that people are downloading? What is it that people are finding? And we look for the new and unique stuff that is appropriate in a particular market, in a particular category. There's ways to, a bunch of the hints and that, and some of the things that if you don't do it, you will not be registered for promotion. I know Gus is going to talk a little bit about it, and then Pete Brown will talk about it tomorrow. For example, if you don't submit promotional images when you submit your app, we'd rather not have to create artwork for you. So, you know, we tend to pick the ones that have submitted promotional images. So there's tips and tricks around that. That's what Pete's going to go deep in tomorrow around that. Excuse me? Campaign and referral tracking is not something that we provide at this point. Thank you very much for your time. I hope you enjoy the rest of Build.